So I really am. I wanted to just stand here and let you know that I'm excited about what God's going to do in this church, and I'm excited in advance in the way that the church, a lot of different things. But you all have been so patient. So we've changed a lot since I've been here already. And the church has been so patient with those changes, and I really appreciate it. It's a testament to a lot of spiritual maturity in the room, that because nobody likes change, and I get it. But I believe that the changes are going to glorify God, honor God, help us to move forward in growing this church and reaching our community. So in advance, thank you for continuing the patient spirit that everybody in this room has with some of the changes that we're going to be making. I know that change is not easy, but you guys are just great. You've withheld strong, and you've encouraged us as we've made changes. Thank you. I want to talk today about Ready 2016, and so this sermon series will get us through January, and we'll focus on some of the spiritual foundations, Gene, that we need as a church in order to move forward and accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. So we're going to lay some foundations for 2016, lay the theme, the groundwork. So the theme for 2016 is ready, ready for all that God wants to do. We're gonna be ready to jump in and accomplish some big things for God, and I'm excited. I'm excited. Well, let's go ahead and pray. We're going to begin with prayer today, and again, 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to start today, but let's pray. Lord, we love you, and an opportunity now to pay attention to your word and what you have to say to us. Lord God, we pray that you would meet us in this place, that your word would be preeminent, and Lord, that you would convict us, bring us to the place where we need to be in our spiritual walk with you. We thank you for what you're going to do. Again, we thank you in advance for the posture that you're bringing us into and the growth that we'll experience in 2016, spiritual growth. Lord, we pray that your word would be top of our priority in 2016 as we seek to grow in you. That your word, we thank you that your word is going to do what it's promised to do, that it's quick and powerful, and it can accomplish great things. So, Lord, we look forward to that even right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's an interesting passage. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament. Paul, when I first entered ministry, I entered with, actually it was Kelly and Betty's church, and that was my first real ministry experience. I was the youth slash assistant pastor, and I'll never forget a letter that Pastor Dylan, who's still a good friend of mine, just recently left that church to go to another church, but he'd been there for years. And Pastor Dylan, who's my first pastor with which I worked, and he wrote me a letter, and he said, I'm looking forward to this opportunity. He'd never had a assistant pastor before, and he said, I look forward to this relationship that we have, and I hope that it can be a relationship like Paul and Timothy, where I can help you grow in your walk with God. I love that. I still have that letter. And I think about that, just that relationship that he and I had, and I can't help but think about this passage. Paul with the actual Timothy, and Paul is there encouraging Timothy, this underling, but who is now a man of God and a pastor himself. And so Paul writing this letter to Timothy, and the thing that grips you when you understand this particular passage is that this is the last chapter, the last letter that Paul will ever write. He's in Roman imprisonment, and after this, shortly after this letter, Paul is executed for his faith. So these are Paul's last words. His last words are to a brother in Christ who he loves, another pastor, and he's trying to encourage this person. And so if you think about last words, what's the last thing that you want to say? And this is it. We find it right here. The last chapter of the last letter of the last book that Paul writes, and we have it. And so I wonder what Paul might say to someone who is going to carry on the mantle of ministry like Timothy will. And so this is heavy. Words and really important words. And I think we're going to find some foundational things for us to our walk with God, our posture as a church in 2016. So let's read it together. Just read a few verses here to verse 8. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they, the church, will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure, his death, has come. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Great. We're going to look at this passage in this chapter over the next 4 weeks or so, assuming we don't get snow and postpone. How many times did that happen last year? At least once in January. So all these plans are just plans. You know, the snow can change this, but we're gonna tackle this chapter, and I just want to begin reading this again, verse 1 and 2, where we're gonna spend our time this morning. I solemnly, Paul says, I solemnly charge you. I want to exhort you. I want to charge you. So right off the bat, I'm struck with, this is a solemn thing. This is like not a game. Paul wants to get Timothy's attention, and I believe God's word wants to get our attention with the same exhortation. I solemnly charge you today. That's sort of like when your kid gets in trouble, and I mean it this time. That kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about, Colleen? Does that happen? It happens at home too. It's like no. Like before, I was kind of just playing around. I mean it. This is a solemn charge. Okay, this is serious. I was kidding before. I'm no longer kidding now. I've had enough of your antics, Micah. No, that slipped. I've had it. Just kidding. He's back. It's unfair to do that when he can't defend himself. I've had enough. Now let's get serious. Brass tacks. I solemnly charge you. Are you hearing that today? Whatever he's about to say is important. It's not just a charge. It's a solemn charge. This is dead serious. I solemnly charge you. And I love this verse because it basically just tightens the screws on how important this is. How important is this charge that you're about to give? Paul, how important is this charge that you're solemnly charging? Well, it's important in this sense. I'm doing it. This charge, God, it's in the presence of God, he says, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. This is not just a solemn charge. This is a solemn charge because I'm doing it. God is on a... Listen, God, Jesus, this is... Everybody here in the room, everybody understand, this is the charge. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus. Can you hear how it's just tightening the screws. Paul, again, whatever he's going to say is important. His last words, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God. We consequently, we're right now in the presence of God. Do you agree? We say, God, meet us in this place. God is here. God is here. He's not far away in space somewhere. God is in this room where two or three are gathered in my name, right? There will I be. God is here. Are we gathered in Jesus' name? I'm gathered in Jesus' name right now. Okay, God is here. So I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. Which Jesus? Oh, okay, this one. Who is to judge the living and the dead? Why is this charge important? Why is this charge important? Because one day, God will judge in the person of Jesus the living that are raptured and go before God, and the dead. So whatever the charge is that we're going to get, understand that you will be judged against it. We're going to be judged against this charge. One day, we're going to stand. This is really heavy, right? Paul's really turning the screws here. One day, we, as a church, you as an individual, are going to stand before the God of the universe and give an account for what you do. How you live 2016, you will be held accountable for. God's going to judge us. That's kind of an important piece of information. Does that mean that whatever I do, I could just do it and there are going to be no consequences? No. That's exactly the opposite. There will be consequences for your actions. You will be judged for the way that you live your life in Christ. You're going to be judged. God's going to judge the living and the dead for our actions and for what God's called us to do. And when God calls us to do something and we don't do it, God will judge us. And when we do it, when we're obedient, that's going to be a good day. But for some of us, it's not going to be a good day. For some of us, there will be a real day. Listen, this is important. There will be an actual, real day that we stand before God and give an actual accounting for our life. Does everybody get this? This is important. There will be a day. Indeed, Paul calls it that in verse 8. He says, there's a future. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge. Here it is again. And will award to me on that day. Paul's fond of saying that day, on the day. That's one of his favorite little phrases. He says it almost in every letter. Paul says, the day. What's the day? What's he talking about? He's talking about the day, the eventual day when we stand before God in judgment. That's the day. And everything about Paul's life is so cool. He's looking forward to that day. He calls it our present hope, the hope that we're going to reach Jesus one day. But for some people, it's not going to be a hope. It's going to be a catastrophe. For some Christians, the day is going to be a tough day. No, I'll talk my way out of it. You won't be talking on that day. But nobody's going to dare try to give a defense with the God of the universe, a God that's so big and so powerful we can't even look on him. We won't be talking. That the day is going to come and we will be defenseless. But it's coming. The day. So I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus, who will judge one day the living and the dead. Everybody following me? Why is this so important? We're going to be judged. Guaranteed. There are certain things that are true. Always going to be taxes, death potentially, and judgment day. For sure. Guaranteed. And by his appearing, well, okay, so I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing, I'm charging you against God's appearing. One day he's going to come. We don't talk about that much. In fact, the word's so cool. I discovered this week. I'm surprised I didn't know this. But the word for appearing in the original language is the same word that we get epiphany from. So God appeared once in the past, right? At Bethlehem, which we just celebrated that, right? And we still see the trees up. By the way, we're still in Christmas season. This is not, it's not yet the 12th day of Christmas. 12 days of Christmas starts after December 25th. So this is still okay. But after the 5th, it needs to go. All right, then we'll be past the 12 days of Christmas. All right, so Epiphany, Jesus is returning again. He's going to appear. Right? That's a great epiphany. And his kingdom. God's going to operate and work things the way he wants to do it. It will be his kingdom. Not my kingdom, not the United States, not, you know, communism or what we're turning into as a country, not any of that. God's way. God's way. So I solemnly charge you. You ready to hear the charge? Everybody convinced that this is an important charge? This is important, and it's a solemn charge. This is important. What does Paul tell Timothy, and by extension, us as a church, what's the posture that we ought to take? I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Well, that sounds like that's just a pastor's job. Not just the pastor's job. Not just the pastor's job, everybody's job. Preach the word. What's preach mean? Proclaim it. That's all it means. Be a herald of it. Herald it. Make a big deal about it. Talk about it. The word. It's interesting in this book. I found this interesting. Preach the word. That idea, preach the word. Sometimes Paul says, preach the scriptures. Sometimes Paul says other things, but he never says, preach the word. This is the only time where we're exhorted to preach the word. And so I was thinking about that. You know, the word in this book, in chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 15, Paul calls it the word of God, and Paul calls it the word of truth. What kind of word are we to preach? God's word, the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, all right? This is really important. We're preaching the word. We're preaching about Jesus. That's what we're teaching. That's what we're proclaiming. Preach the word. Preach the word. And the word of truth. So that means that when we do it, we've got to be honest about it. Everybody agree with that? It's the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Truth. That means, here's what you have to hold me accountable to as a church, and then I need to hold this accountable to you, and we hold one another accountable to each other, that this is the way that we're living our life, that we're being faithful and true to what God says. So we don't skirt by things because they're uncomfortable. We just say it. We say it in love because we love people. Get out of here. Get out of here. Okay. See how the devil wants to mess this up? You need to listen. Preach the word. Preach the word. What we say up here has got to be true or it won't be effective. So we want to be a church that reaches people. Absolutely, we want to reach people. We want to go out in the streets and do our job and minister to people. We did a great job at that in December. You're to be commended. We have the right heartbeat for reaching our community. But in here, what our job is to be faithful to what God says. And that might mean challenging even some of the things that you believe. Can we all agree that there it's a possibility, since you're not perfect, that you believe things that aren't right against God's word? Is that even possible? And so what you have to be willing to do is be willing to say, well, hold on, I see this in God's word that goes against kind of what I've thought in the past, but I'm willing to concede that it looks very evident in God's word. I need to change because it's true. And it also means that certainly there are going to be things in God's word that are uncomfortable and maybe uncomfortable and maybe hard to preach, like what we just talked about, judgment. Nobody wants to talk about that. It's just the truth. And we're not doing anybody any favors unless we're faithful and true in talking about what is true. So we want to be a church that reaches people, but we also want to be a church that stands on the authority of what God says. Because if we're not doing that, then we're going nowhere really fast. Then we're setting a foundation that's erroneous. We're setting a foundation that's not true, and we're not going to go very far. We have to be faithful and true. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. So we have a lot of freedom to do a lot of things. Does everybody understand this now? So this is part of my heartbeat. I want everybody to kind of grab this. We have freedom to... So in other words, this is quite great for the church. We have freedom to do PowerPoint. Hey, do PowerPoint. If we wanted to do drama, we could do drama. If we want to change this, we could change that. If we want to change the style, we do that. We have a lot of freedom, but what we don't have freedom to do is not to preach the word. So get this. So as long as we're preaching, that's the main thing. Preach the word. And then there's a lot of things that we have the freedom to do, but we have to preach the word at the same time. Preaching the word is important. You as an individual have a lot of freedom to do a lot of things, but you definitely have to preach the word. You have to be faithful to what God says. That means, consequently, that you have to know the word a little bit. You have to be in the word so that when you're out into this community that needs Jesus, you have an answer. So Paul says, preach the word. And then, so that's the first command. Consequently, these verbs are command forms in the original language. First command is preach the word. Any ambiguity about that? Everybody got that? Preach the word. Not preach my opinion, not preach what I think. Preach the word. There are certain things that I don't preach, quite frankly, because I'm not right sure about it. I've done a lot of studying. I'm not sure what position to take. I don't preach about it. You know why? Because I don't want to be wrong. So I preach stuff that I'm pretty sure about. I'm pretty sure about Jesus. I'm pretty sure about all the major things, right? You're going to hear me preach a lot about those things. This passage is pretty simple. Okay, I solemnly charge you. What do I know? I know that Paul's telling us to preach the word. We ought to do it. It's not just the pastor's job, though this is your... Preach is not very complicated. It's just proclaiming. That's all it is. How in the world do we reach this community if the strategy is just to go out and serve people water? See, that's good, but that's only a very small part of honoring God with our lives. The thing is, the way we reach this community is by you reaching your neighbor. The way we reach this community is by you reaching your coworker. The way we reach this community is by you reaching the person that you found out has a need, and you're being salt and light with those people, and you're being the word to them, and you're preaching the word. You're sharing important things with them that God might have you to share. That's how you reach this community. So Paul says, preach the word. Be ready. What's that mean? Be ready. Second command. Be ready. The opposite of being ready is being ill-prepared, being not ready. So that means we preach the word. Everybody following this here? Everybody with me? I know it's not very exciting today. Do I need to do some cartwheels? Because I can't. If we're relying on that, I cannot do it. You need to. I know some messages are harder than others. Let's put our thinking caps on and dedicate our minds to the proposition that God has something for us to hear. Okay? So we preach the word. We preach the word. And then number two command, be ready. Okay, a lot of people want to preach the word. A lot of people not ready to preach the word. Not prepared, have no answer to give. You need to be ready to preach the word. Be ready to preach the word. You need to prepare to preach the word. Be prepared. Be ready. That means that we're in the word. We're asking God to show us opportunities that we can be salt and light with people. We're ready to do it. We don't come to situations unprepared. This is a war. And like with any war, I've been watching. I'm going to tell you, we got this for Christmas. Kelly, part of her gift that I got, you're going to think it's lame, but I don't care what you think. I got Kelly the Fire Stick, Amazon Fire Stick. Part of it was really for me because I've wanted to get Netflix for some time. I like Netflix. We haven't had it for a long time. And so I want to be able to sit down, watch Netflix on my TV. So we got the Fire Stick. And so I've been watching this week. I mean, I'm telling you, so I took some time off. And I've watched like 10 episodes of World War II in color. World War II in color. I love that stuff. I love that. I love watching war documentaries. And so you got the Treaty of Versailles, and then the next thing you know, Germany comes out of this ruin, and Hitler rises up. It's really, really interesting. I'm like, wow, a lot of this stuff, I kind of knew, I forgot, you know, from school, and it's just really interesting. And so I'm watching, it's like episode 6, and I'm watching, and it's like, all of a sudden, Japan attacks Pearl Harbor, and I knew that happened. But I'm watching this thinking, well, what? How did the United States get caught unprepared for this? I mean, they didn't see this coming? Everybody, you know, is like, well, they'd had it. They totally hoodwinked. Totally unprepared. And so I've been, basically World War II was one disaster of unpreparedness after another. It's really interesting. You know what happens when you're not prepared? Nothing good. Nothing good. Preparedness is such an important discipline. And in the spiritual life, it's so important. If somebody's coming to you and has a need, God put that need there for you to deal with. If you're not prepared with the word to give the word and to be salt and light with those people, shame on us for being unprepared to be the witness God has called us to be. Nothing good comes out of unpreparedness. That means we need to stay disciplined in our walk with God. Discipline ourselves in the word. Discipline ourselves in prayer. We need to put on the armor of God, right? Why? Because we've got an important thing. We got an important thing that we got to do. And it's preaching the word. And we have to be prepared. Preach the word. Be ready. Be ready. As opposed to not ready, as opposed to unprepared. I take a lot of, not pride, but I feel a lot of responsibility that on Sunday morning, I'm prepared. I feel this is a big part of my job, is that I come prepared. I know what I'm going to say. I have an idea of where I'm going with the message. And for the most part, sometimes I'm more prepared than other times, but most of the time I'm mostly prepared. I could always do better. But for the most part, I take it very seriously. We all have the same responsibility. Our call is to be a church and an individual that's ready to do the job. I believe 100% that this year, I happen to believe it, and if I believe November and December and the visitors that we've had just in the last 2 months, I believe God's going to put a lot of people in our path that we can minister to. I believe that 100%. Are we ready? Are we ready to love those people? Are we ready to take them in and say, you're part of our church? Even if I've been coming here for 45 years, I'm an equal part as the guy that just came last week. I don't own this. This is your church just like it is my church. Are we ready to love those people? Are we ready to bless people? Are we ready to embrace people? Are we ready to minister to people? People that are going to come in here hurting. They're not in here hurting just to be hands shaken. They're in here hurting because they need answers maybe. And maybe God's going to put you in their path to bless them and to be salt and light with them, to teach the word to them. Are you ready for that responsibility? Preach the word. Be ready. Be ready in season and out of season. That's a way of saying, it's kind of an interesting thing. In season and out of season is a way of saying good times and bad times. When it's inconvenient and when it's convenient. Be ready. So we preach the word. And we're ready, no matter if it's convenient time, we're always ready to be persuasive with God's word. Always ready to persuade people in righteousness. We're going to persuasively preach the word, and we're going to do it when it's bad times, and we're going to do it when it's good times. I always found it interesting. It's like, Paul had a tough time. He's about to die for preaching the word. We're going to go up to heaven one day and we're going to run into people. It's like, Paul, was it tough times for you? Yeah, it was tough times. I mean, I got killed for my faith. You lived in 2015. You lived in easy times. Yeah, we kind of did live in easy times. I think it's going to get harder for us. I think it's going to get harder. Right now, we're in an easy season to preach the word. Does everybody agree with that? Oh, there's some persecution, you know, like when we knock on doors and people are like, yeah, I don't want the gift card that you're giving. Okay. But nobody's getting, yeah, there's some persecution at school, you know. Oh, you know, you're a Christian and they're going to make fun of you at school. So hard to be a Christian. That people make fun of you when you're a Christian. Hey, be a Christian 2,000 years ago, where standing up for Jesus meant you may die, okay? Yeah, we have it easy. We have it totally easy. Easy to be a Christian today. And yet, we've fallen asleep. It's too easy. We've fallen asleep as a church. We're not ready to do what God's called us to do. We're certainly not ready to do it in tough times. Easy to do it in easy times. Not ready to do it in the tough times. And God's calling us to do it in tough times. And by the way, it's getting tough. And it's going to get tougher as you start to yield yourself to all that God wants you to do. It will get tough. Be ready. Be ready. In season, out of season, but let's get into this community in 2016 and reach it for Jesus. Let's be ready to preach the word. Be faithful in season, out of season. Preach the word. In that process, we'll change some things out. Great, we'll have a lot of freedom to do a lot of things, but we will preach the word. We're not gonna shift there. We're not going to vacillate. We're not going to make concessions. The word's going to be preached. Will you make the same commitment in your life? I commit to you, right now, and I made this commitment when we came here, that when I preach, I'm going to be prepared, and I'm going to preach the word. I won't apologize for it. I'm going to preach what I think God wants, what I think God wants us to hear. I'll do that every Sunday. I'm going to take this job seriously. I'm going to preach the word. Will you take that same commitment? God, in my own life, I'm going to commit myself to being a steward of God's word. I'm going to be a steward of it, and I'm going to go out in this community, and I'm going to be ready to persuasively teach and preach and be salt and light in this community in Jesus' name. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. We're going to, like I said, we're going to change things. That's not the key. All these things are important. They're going to be great. We're going to worship. All these things are good. It's all good. But it doesn't mean anything if we're not getting out and doing the hard work of being salt and light in our community. And you're not going to be a good steward of that task if you're not prepared. You have to be ready. And you have to be ready even if it's hard or if it's easy. In season, out of season, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Somebody comes to you and has a need, you're ready. The Holy Spirit's working with you already, showing you what it is that you want them to, what it is that you want them to hear. God's going to be working in you. Be ready. Be ready. Preach the word. In season, out of season, tough times, good times, people making fun of you at school. Be ready. Be ready. Don't vacillate. God is good. He's for you. He's not against you. His way's better than the world's way. Be ready. Will you do that this year with me? 2016, we'll just take a couple minutes to ask you. I don't want to build it up because, like, the changes that we're making aren't going to be as big as the way I'm making it sound. You know what I mean? We're not doing anything, whatever. We want to reach this community in 2016. We laid some foundation last year with Love Tiffin. We've laid a spiritual foundation on teaching. And I really feel like God, I mean, it's just something I feel, that God wants to really operate in this church and do something here. I believe that there aren't many churches that have a posture like we have. I don't know every church in Tiffin. I can't speak to every church in Tiffin. There's no way. But I believe there's not a lot of fruit showing up. And I believe that if we're honoring God, God will honor us with fruit of our labor. Do you agree? Do you agree that there is a harvest? And that God needs laborers to go forth into the harvest. You believe that? Do you believe that the harvest is great and it's white and it's bigger than we could even accomplish? Do you agree with that? So God has a job for us to do, and what's stopping us is us, not God. What's stopping us is our own willingness to use ourselves as conduits of God's grace to work through into our community. That's what we need. And if we're going to do that, then we need to take this posture. Paul's last words, preach the word. We have to be a church that's faithful and true to what God says. And we have to be ready, even when it's tough, even when it's easy, to go out and to with our neighbors, to with our coworkers, with the people that God divinely brings to your path, that we're ready to share the word of God with them in a loving way, not beating anybody up. God never does that. God doesn't coerce anybody or strong arm anybody. God never does that. God is always gracious and gives people a sense in which they can remain themselves. You have really some choices. And everybody does. God's not going to, so we ought not stronghold anybody. It's the goodness of God, let us not forget. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's the goodness of God. God is good. And we ought to be good stewards of that and lovingly tell people the truth, not some fabrication. We ought to lovingly tell people the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. I think if we do that this year, God's going to, I think 2016 will be this church's biggest year ever. I believe that with all my heart, and I really believe that. I'm not just saying that because I feel like I need something really interesting to say as a pep talk. I believe that this church is on the precipice of accomplishing some really, really great things for God, but it'll take you as a conduit, somebody partnering with, well, I'm not very involved. Get involved. Get involved. Be salt and light. Invite people. It might mean for some of you that you get out of the closet as a Christian. You may have to just say, hey, I'm a Christian. I don't care what people think. It may mean that you, with your neighbors, go out of your way to minister to them, to love on people, to be ready to preach the word. But God's going to accomplish some great things here, I believe. We need people to get involved. We need people to jump on board. I'm not talking about church doing great things in this building. I'm talking about church doing great things in and through you out there with the people that God has as your responsibility. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The people that rub shoulders with you are not my responsibility. They are your responsibility. That's who God put in your path. Reach them. I don't have a responsibility to reach your neighbor. That's your neighbor. You reach them. You be salt and light. Be the church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as well as on Sunday. Do you receive that today? Preach the word. God, we come to you and ask that you would bless. We're going to make commitments this year to worship you greater, better. We're going to make commitments to you to preach the word as a church. Lord, help us to be a church, individuals that love you enough that they will sacrifice themselves to be good stewards of the command that we have to preach the word. That we'd be ready in season, big, easy times, hard times, that we'd be ready and prepared to be persuasive about who you are and the love of Jesus in people's lives. Help that to be the case. Help us to be a church that is ready. God, pour your blessing, pour your spirit and your grace over this church in 2016. Despite me, despite our failures, God, we ask for your power in great abundance. We ask that there be nothing missing, nothing lacking in this church, that would operate in a way that you want it to operate. There'd be a church that glorifies and honors you in everything that we do. God, help that to be the case. Bless this church. Lord God, bring upon this church the power and influence of the Spirit of God over us. With your heads bowed, we just want to, first of the year, give you an opportunity. Just if God's speaking to you in any way, this is an opportunity to just solidify that. What's God telling you? Are you doing a good job at preaching the word? Are you doing a good job at being salt and light? Are you doing a good job at being prepared to be the kind of person that God wants you to be? So God, I'm definitely struggling with something. God's speaking to you today. Give it over to the Lord. Lord, I give this part of my life to you. Help me to do better by your grace. Help 2016 be my best year ever. The year I walk with God the closest. Lord, we commit our ourselves to your grace and to your mercy. Thankful today for what you've done. You're a good God. You've called us to big jobs and big tasks. Help this church to be faithful to do what you've called us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name.